live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, February 1st, 2018. January is behind us, and now we welcome in a new month. Can you believe that? January, I tell you what, January felt like a long month, though. That was a long month. Let's keep it real. A lot happened throughout the month of January. And you talk about the last few weeks. The last few weeks is what we have been primarily highlighting here on the show as it pertains to the Larry Nassar sentencing and then the ESPN E60 reports that center on the Michigan State men's basketball team, the Michigan State football program. Luana K. Simon steps down as Michigan State president. Mark Hollis steps down as Michigan State athletic director. There are protests at The Rock, speaking in support of the victims or survivors of Larry Nassar. There's a gathering at The Rock, and then there's a march. And then you have the Michigan State men's basketball game on Friday. Tom Izzo has been asked about the ESPN E60 report since it aired on Friday night. He took questions on Friday night after Michigan State topped Wisconsin. He took questions on Sunday after Michigan State had beaten Maryland on the road. And he's been sticking to his statement, basically saying that right now we want to focus on the survivors, and I will speak about specifics pertaining to that report at a later time when I can. And last night, as Michigan State men's basketball beat Penn State, Tom Izzo was asked about the ESPN report yet again. ESPN did have another reporter, this time at the Breslin Center, much like we saw Tisha Thompson, who was present at Tisha Thompson of ESPN's Outside the Lines, who was present at the Michigan State and Maryland postgame press conference. There was a reporter inside of the Breslin yesterday after Michigan State beat Penn State, and Tom Izzo stuck to his script, basically saying, look, I have issued my statement right now. I'm not going to elaborate further. And then many questions still on the ESPN report came out. And basically, you know, what I found to be pretty interesting after that game last night as it pertains to the press conference was that there were many questions that addressed Tom possibly giving a timeline as to when he would issue a statement. When can we expect something from you, Tom? Some clarity from this report from ESPN. And again, he stuck to his guns. I've issued a statement. You'll know when. I just can't talk about it right now. And, it, you know, you look at what happened last night at the Breslin. Michigan State, what a game they played in that second half. It's now back-to-back games now in which this team has needed a second half surge to beat the competition. It was a pretty flawless second half against Maryland on Sunday and much of the same last night against Penn State as Michigan State cruises. Now, on any other sports news night, that will be the story in the world of local sports. However, there's a lot more things going on in that, right, than just the game. Nobody cares about the games right now, as Michigan State now just continues to win and find ways to win, find new ways to win. So later on this hour, I will talk some X's and O's. I will talk about this five-game win streak that Tom Izzo's team is currently on. But before we do that, and I want to let this be known as well, this is our last live current sports show of the week. I will be out of town for the weekend. I get back in town next week, Tuesday. So I want to talk Super Bowl as well on today's current sports. Want to issue my prediction and thoughts as Tom Brady goes for another ring. A possibility to really etch himself as the GOAT, in my opinion. So we'll talk Super Bowl later on this hour. But I want to pass this news to you all because it is breaking and has been since 12:30 p.m. as Meridian Township actually held a press conference. And I believe that press conference is still ongoing right now. Our very own Scott Pohl is at this press conference, as well as Shayna Roth, who joined us on yesterday's current sports. She is our Capitol correspondent here at WKAR. And there's a press conference taking place right now where township officials have issued an apology to Larry Nassar survivor Breanne Randall Gay about a police report of sexual assault that she filed against Nassar with the Meridian Township Police Department back in 2004. Can you believe that? You know, it's mind-boggling how so many individuals had the breadcrumbs. They were staring at the breadcrumbs right in front of their face and didn't follow through in making sure that Larry Nassar was indeed responsible in his medical practices. I mean, we've talked about Larissa Boyce, who was featured on that ESPN E60 report entitled Spartan Secrets. Larissa Boyce, back in 1997, she goes to Michigan State University gymnastics head coach Kathy Klages. And there is another anonymous gymnast who also went to Kathy Klages. And Kathy basically brings them in and says, do you know what can happen to you and Larry Nassar if I file this report? Basically intimidating Larissa Boyce and this anonymous gymnast and convincing them not to follow through. Also, Tiffany Thomas Lopez, former Michigan State sophomore player, who tried to go to a Michigan State athletic trainer who is still employed here at Michigan State and say, hey, something's wrong here. I think I was abused by Larry Nassar. And this certain athletic trainer made Tiffany Thomas Lopez feel, quote unquote, crazy. And this report now, Breanne Randall Gay, a Larry Nassar survivor who reported him back in 2004, and nothing happened. Now, when it comes to this situation, I want to put it in context here. You know, Breanne, you know, she went to Larry Nassar, and after her visit, she accused the doctor of molesting her during treatment for an abnormal spine. Now, again, Nassar, he was a sports doctor at the time at Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics. He convinced police that he had performed a legitimate procedure with his hands and even provided a PowerPoint presentation to explain. And you know what happened? The case was dropped, allowing Nassar to continue to molest girls and young women, including Olympians, for years until his eventual arrest in 2016. Right now, there is a total of 265 women and girls that have said they have been assaulted by Larry Nassar. Well, accountability, right? Honesty, transparency, those are words that we have been using a lot in these last few weeks. Meridian Township released the 2004 police report on Randall Gay's allegations against Nassar. And the township decided to hold a press conference today, again, which began at 12:30 p.m., to apologize to Breanne, who was present via Skype during this press conference, again, which is still taking place right now. Now, I just want to play, because I rolled on this when it began, and then they allowed, they did allow Breanne Randall Gay to comment in the courtroom via Skype. The audio wasn't great. So what I want to do right now is just play the first few minutes of this press conference as township manager Frank Walsh was the first to speak. And here is what he had to say.
First of all, the most important reason we're here, and that's to apologize on behalf of the community, our police department, to you, Breanna. We failed you. We let you down. And you don't know how sorry. I know we've had a lot of private conversations, private apologies, but we felt this needed to be done in public because what happened to you is in public. And thank you for being here. I also want to apologize to Ellen, your mother. Your mom has been through a lot. Your brother, Matt, and your husband, you've all been through a lot. And we're sorry for that. I want to go back to 17 months ago, September 16th of 2016. We were notified by the Michigan State University of a potential case involving Nassar. The story had just broken the Indianapolis Star. It was a week old. And we were notified that we may have a case involved in 2004. We were immediately told by the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office, do not release the report. We were prohibited from releasing the report. And shortly thereafter, we were told the same thing. As the case grew and the number of survivors grew, we were told the same thing by the Michigan Attorney General's Office. We were prohibited from releasing the report. We understand why. We were told that we could jeopardize the prosecution of Nassar if we released the report. Certainly, we did not want to do that. That's why we've been silent. We've been criticized for being silent for the last 17 months. And trust me, there were times we wanted to go forward and reach out to Breanne. We followed their direction. We were told to do that until after the sentencing. We decided not to wait. We decided to act. And I'm glad we did. It's one of the best decisions we've made. On Friday, January 19th at 4 o'clock, we made a phone call to Breanne. We didn't know what to expect. It was a very emotional conversation that lasted probably 30 to 40 minutes. And during that conversation, the one reason we called was to say, we're coming tomorrow to Seattle. I don't care that the case isn't over. It was time to come and apologize and start to make things right. During that conversation, we learned that Breanne was interested in coming back here and trying to work out a way to come back and face Nassar along with the other, at that time, 150 survivors. We now know that that is over 250 survivors and growing. Breanne accepted our offer, and on Sunday, the 2 days later, on the 21st, contacted me in the morning and said, I'm coming. I'll be there tonight. And we talked about meeting the next day. We met on Monday, the 22nd at noon. The healing continued. We met with her brother, Matt, her mom, Ellen, Chief and I, and her attorney, Stephen Drew. And I just want to say one thing about Mr. Drew. He's been very cooperative. He's worked with us. And we've developed a relationship with him as well. He's been very fair and compassionate with us, and I appreciate that, Mr. Drew. Following that meeting on noon on the 22nd, we talked about Breanne. She's going to testify and give a victim statement in front of Judge Aquilina the next day. She contacted me on noon on Tuesday and said, I'm going to do it. I was very proud of her. It's not easy to do. Chief and I rushed down to the courthouse. We were there at 1 o'clock. There were two seats open next to her family. I can't begin to tell you how difficult the courtroom was. For those of you that weren't there, to see the victims, the survivors, it was something I'll never forget. We listened to Brianne provide her victim statement. Excuse me. I'll never forget the embrace we shared after her testimony, something I'll never forget. And the conversation with her mom right afterwards in the hallway. Meeting Brianne has really touched my life. This sounds kind of strange, but I'm thankful I had that opportunity. Following the courtroom, which was on Tuesday, we contacted the AG's office and said, we want to be able to release the report. We need to. It was time. It was past time. We would not jeopardize the prosecution, but the sentencing was over. On Monday, just 72 hours ago, we were given the ability to release the report. We released it within 48 hours of being told that we were allowed to do so. The reason we're here today on Thursday is because two reasons. It meets Brianne's schedule, and we would not hold this at such a time when any of the survivors were testifying in Judge Cunningham's court. And we understood there was going to be no courtroom involving Nassar today. This is why we're here on Thursday. We know we can be better. We will be better. And we are sorry that we were manipulated and deceived back in 2004. To that end, our focus is on looking forward and getting better. What positive can come out of this? Let's be genuine, authentic, and transparent, and not a cold and stubborn response to the survivors. We've been talking to Brianne over the last few days. Chief and I have been working on some initiatives going back months back about what we could do to make this better. Chief's going to talk about those in a minute. But one of the outcomes that I'm just delighted about is Brianne's own idea. Brianne's idea that she wants to come here over the next course of the year and work with our department. Work with the officer who took the report in 2004 and develop a community-wide outreach program regarding criminal sexual conduct. The chief will talk more about that and our other initiatives. That's not all we're going to do. We're going to be better. We let you down, Brianne. And the outcome of that is that we're all going to be better. This has touched me personally in ways you'll never know. But I can tell you that if it's the last thing I do in Meridian Township, we're going to work with Brianne and we're going to become better in the community and we're going to do things for many, many folks. I'm expecting Chief Hall to follow through on the initiatives in 2018, and I know he will. And we're going to work closely with you, Brianne. And we're going to do some great things in this community. At this time, I'd like Chief Hall to come up and talk about those initiatives and the program that Brianne has herself come up with. And at that time, we'll ask Brianne if she has any statements to make, and then we'll take your questions. Thank you very much.
Again, folks, that is opening comments from today's Meridian Township press conference that began around 12:30 p.m. those opening comments made from Township Manager Frank Walsh, who, as you just heard, was very emotional when discussing what happened with Breanne Randall Gay, who tried to pursue criminal charges back in 2004 against Larry Nassar. Nassar said he had performed a legitimate procedure with his hands, put together a PowerPoint presentation. The case was dropped and allowed Larry Nassar to continue his abuse and manipulation for countless other girls and young women. And, you know, when you listen to that press conference, and when you just look at the entire timeline of events, how there were so many people in leadership positions in which some of these survivors tried to let it be known that what was taking place during their visits with Nassar, they didn't feel like it was right and something was wrong. Those who were in leadership positions failed and allowed Larry Nassar to continue his abuse. I don't know if I was one of those individuals, like a Kathy Klages, like the athletic trainer in the situation of Tiffany Thomas Lopez, like that of Frank Walsh and his team. I don't know how. Well, I know that I would never be comfortable with myself knowing that I had an opportunity to end this sick man, and I let that opportunity slip right through my fingers. Master manipulator. Also want to pass this story to you all. Don't know if you saw this, but right now it is the top headline on ESPN.com. The defense attorney for convicted sexual predator Larry Nassar said that she does not believe her client was capable of sexually assaulting the number of women who have accused him of doing so. Shannon Smith, in an interview with WWJ News Radio this morning, quote, "There is a huge part of me that does not believe that every one of those girls was victimized by him. I believe that what happened, while there may be some that were victimized, and certainly as part of the plea agreement, there are others who have come to believe they were victimized because of the way the case spun in a way out of control. There was no way there could have been so much. Larry would have been doing this all day, every day with no one catching on. This is a guy who put child pornography in a trash can. He's not a savvy guy." End quote. That's what Shannon Smith had to say on WWJ News Radio this morning. She does not believe that every one of those young women and girls who gave their survivor statements in court and have given their survivor statements in court are telling the truth. Doesn't believe a few of them are telling the truth. Shannon, it blows my mind how many people have just stuck their foot so far down their throat. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. But Shannon, even if you do believe that, you do not publicize a comment like that. It is ridiculously insensitive. And it is that kind of mindset that allowed Larry Nassar for over two decades, to abuse countless young women and girls. Even if you do believe that, you don't go on a radio show and let that be known, especially when you are still in the midst of a sentencing hearing out in Eaton County Court. Why? Why make a comment like that? Before we hit this first break, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports. Comment below the live stream. Live stream is up and running. Many of you weighing in right now. And tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Before we hit this first break, Ian Hawley, let's hit them with our current sports quick hit headliners. All right, the USA Gymnastics Board of Directors have resigned by yesterday's deadline set by the United States Olympic Committee. The organization made that known in a statement last week. The USOC set the directors' resignations as a condition USA Gymnastics had to meet if it wanted to avoid being terminated as the governing body for the sport. The resignation comes after former national team Dr. Larry Nassar was sentenced up to 175 years in prison for 7 sexual assault charges. More than 265 girls and young women have said Nassar abused them, including champions like Simone Biles, Allie Raisman, Michaela Maroney, Gabby Douglas, and our most famous Olympian from right here in Michigan, Jordan Weber. The Michigan State men's basketball team scored 52 points in the second half and fought back from a 12-point deficit in the second half en route to a 76-68 win over Penn State at the Breslin Center last night. Michigan State, winners of 5 straight games and 6 of the last 7 overall, improves to 21-3 and 9-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Penn State falls to 15-9 overall and 5-6 in Big Ten play. Michigan State looked a bit flat and lifeless for almost 20 minutes to start, and then something changed. Something happened, much like what we saw against Maryland on Sunday. Michigan State erupted for a 41-14 run in the second half, displaying an intensity and focus beyond the recent norm en route to that win. Coach Tom Izzo called it, quote, a big-time win. Miles Bridges, 23 points, 9 boards, led the Spartans, who improved to 14-1 at the Brez this year, 24-1 all-time at home against Penn State. Michigan State women's basketball returns home to open the final month of the regular season, taking on Iowa tonight at 6 p.m. The Spartans are currently 14-8, 4-5 in Big Ten play. The Hawkeyes are 16-6 overall, 4-5 in Big Ten action. The Spartans are looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. Michigan State will celebrate the annual National Girls and Women in Sports Day against Iowa tonight. This year marks the 32nd year of the event, that is national observation for celebrating the extraordinary achievements of women and girls in sports. MSU women's programs will be honored at the half. Iowa comes to East Lansing with a 16-6 overall record, as I stated. All right, Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio announced that former Spartan and NFL linebacker Chuck Bulla. Yeah, you know that Bulla name, right? That famed Bulla name. Chuck Bulla has been named as the program's new defensive ends coach. A 22-year coaching vet, Bulla has experience in both the NFL and college, including 5 years as a defensive coordinator. He has mentored multiple Pro Bowlers, All-Americans, and NFL players, in addition to coaching in 6 bowl games. As a player, Bulla spent 5 years in the NFL and was one of the most productive Spartans to ever wear the green and white. A 4-year letter winner at Michigan State from 88 to 1991, he still holds MSU's single-season tackles record with 175 in 1991. He spent, the last 2 seasons, 2016 and 17, coaching the defensive line at Eastern Michigan University. All right, Michigan's round of graduate transfers is not over. That's right, news coming out of the Michigan football camp. 4th-year junior tight end Ian Bunting, he announced that he will seek a graduate transfer in a 5th 5th-year at another school. He made that announcement earlier this week on Tuesday. Bunting, who was a rotational player at tight end for the Wolverines last season, he announced that decision on Instagram. Bunting is the fifth Michigan player to announce a grad transfer since the close of 2017 regular season. Quarterbacks Wilton Spate and Alex Malzone and wide receivers Drake Harris and Maurice Ways announced their decisions prior to Michigan's Outback Bowl loss to South Carolina on January 1st. Forward Blake Griffin will suit up for his new team for the first time tonight, making his debut as a member of the Detroit Pistons, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. His addition is expected to bring a different dimension to this team immediately, as Stan Van Gundy takes a huge risk incorporating Blake Griffin with no time to waste, as he's yet to have a practice with the team under his belt. So we'll see how things move along tonight. Griffin had missed Tuesday's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Pistons shook off an 8-game skid to top the Cleveland Cavaliers 125-114. Stanley Johnson, a career night for him. Interesting tidbit about this Blake Griffin story, though. He did not know that he was traded until he looked on Twitter. He found out on Twitter that he was heading to Detroit. Well, congrats, Blake. We'll see what happens tonight, especially when he has not even practiced with the team. All right, the Winged Will, the Detroit Red Wings. The shootout remains a good friend for the Wings, as the Wings won their fourth try in the tie-breaking procedure in five tries on Wednesday, defeating the San Jose Sharks 2-1, 4-3 in the seven-round shootout. Justin Ablicator broke the tie. Michigan State's own Justin Ablicator broke the tie in the seventh round, while goaltender Peter Mrazek turned aside San Jose's Thomas Hertl. Mrazek stopped 30 shots in getting the victory and earning himself another start on Friday in Carolina. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break. Apachu, I see you on line one. We'll get to your calls. Also, we are going to roll in a crosstalk that Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal participated in alongside myself and news director Reginald Hardwick, as we discuss what is currently happening right now in the national media as it pertains to the Michigan State men's basketball team and Michigan State football team. Trust me, it's a conversation that you do not want to miss. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this February 1st. Happy Black History Month to you all out there. January is now in the books, and I really hope you all are having a great start to your month. In segment A, just wrapped up segment A, we talked about Meridian Township issuing an apology to Breanne Randall Gay, as she is a survivor of Larry Nassar, who tried to pursue criminal charges against Nassar back in 2004. Nassar said that he had performed a legitimate procedure on Randall Gay's abnormal spine, in which he used his hands, and he even had a PowerPoint presentation to explain. The case was dropped, and Nassar was let off the hook. And then we, of course, rolled in our quick hit headliners. I want to get your thoughts on everything that's happening here at Michigan State University, because in just a moment, I'm going to roll in an interview that I had, or I should say a talk. It was a panel chat with myself and Graham Couch and Reginald Hardwick. Our news director here was the moderator, and Graham Couch, of course, columnist for the Lansing State Journal. As we talk about what is happening right now with the Michigan State men's basketball team and the Michigan State football team, before we bring that to you all, we do have a caller on line one. Our dear friend Apachu wants to chime in. Apachu, how you doing? And you are on Current Sports.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Did I hear that individual from law enforcement apologize to the community at large?
He apologized to Breanne.
And he involved, it seemed like he involved the community at large when he says, I apologize for the community as well, or something to that effect.
I have to go back and I don't recall. But
well,
okay.
I want to give you my feelings on that.
Yeah.
The community is the medium that he infiltrated and predated. Okay. The community ran to them for safety, and law enforcement failed them. All right. And the same thing in Michigan State, whatever happened there, and it's going to come out. And I think we need to wait and let it come out. But, you know, you have policies, rules, and regulations, and then you have people who are supposed to execute them. And they're part of law enforcement in that sense. I live out here in Williamston, and I had a situation where my neighbor, okay, even with the use of gunfire, intimidated, harassed my family. I wrote to the governor. I wrote to the Michigan State Police. I met with a lieutenant from the Michigan State Police, and I met with our state police officers. And you know what? They talked to me like I was crazy. So law enforcement can do that. You know, Cosby committed all these rapes, and he's walking free because he's a billionaire. And then you got this guy, Wynn, from the casino industry. He's a billionaire, and he's a rapist. And then we got a president, and that's self-explanatory there. There's not double, there's two, three, and four tiers of justice in this country. It's all law enforcement. And you know what, brother? They need to do their job and quit considering what your race is, what your sex is, where you stand in the community, and so forth. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Strong statements from Apache. Apache, thank you so much for chiming in, my man. If you would like to be a part of the show and let your voice be heard on anything that's on your noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And yeah, I can feel the pain in that statement, Apache, because when you look at this situation and this press conference, and you listen to what was said in this presser from Township Manager Frank Walsh to begin with. That's the bite that we rolled in to begin this conversation. And you know, he says, quote, we failed you. We let you down, speaking to Breanne on Skype. I mean, too little too late, right? Too little too late. Right now, the count is over 260 young women and girls. And again, there are people who are in position, whether it be here at Michigan State University, whether it be at USA Gymnastics, whether it be local law enforcement, there are so many individuals who completely dropped the ball here. And I think this is a message to all of us that if you feel like something is going on, if you feel like something is wrong, report it immediately. If you see something, what's that old saying? If you see something, say something. That holds so true. So true, folks. Right now, what I want to do is play a conversation between myself, Lansing State Journal sports columnist Graham Couch, and our news director, Reginald Hardwick, who is the moderator here, and this will also air on Current State come this weekend. But we all three gathered here in Studio West and engaged in a crosstalk concerning what is taking place as it pertains to Michigan State men's basketball and Michigan State football in light of the ESPN E60 reports that by now many of you have seen. Many of you know the situation. And here is how that conversation went.
Welcome back to Current State on WKAR. I'm Reginald Hardwick. We talked about the investigations and the Board of Trustees. So what's next for MSU Athletics? Joining me now is WKAR current sports host Al Martin and Lansing State Journal columnist Graham Couch. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Reg.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This week, Greg Iani was announced as interim athletic director at MSU. So, Graham, I'll start with you. What do we know about him?
Well, he's a facilities guy, has been for a long time. I mean, he's
in large part responsible for a lot of the things you've seen go up around campus over the last decade or so. And he's also, I think, a really nice guy. Like, if you were looking at nice guy in the dictionary, you'd find Greg Ianni. And I've always had good dealings with him in that sense. I think he is somebody who knows the inner workings of the athletic department. And I know there are a lot of people want somebody from outside. They want a different perspective. But there is also just the day-to-day operations of things and all these roles. You need people who can function and keep things moving while you make a decision on what direction you want to go. And I think he is somebody who can do that. I think he is somebody who knows at the athletic department. And he's somebody people know and trust within the athletic department, even if outsiders aren't thrilled entirely that it's somebody inside.
Al, anything to add? Or
yeah, I mean, to echo much of what Graham just had to say. I mean, he was the guy to run the day-to-day operations whenever Hollis would be, you know, busy with the NCAA committees and other responsibilities. When it comes to the athletic facilities, I mean, he's been one of the premier men who have been in charge of handling those improvements and updates and event management for different sports. He's an MSU alum from back in the 70s. He knows this area very well, and his children, as we know, Anthony, actually, he is a former basketball player of Tom Izzo. So he was naturally the guy that a lot of people expected to step into that role.
Do we have any idea if Ianni did know, like, Larry Nassar, or would be even around that gymnastics program, or have anything to do with kind of, you know, getting doctors to the athletes or anything?
No, that wasn't his role. And the other thing that keep in mind is, doctors, that MSU health team does not report to MSU athletics. So they report to, I think, radiology even. I mean, the connection is less than people think. And he didn't deal directly with women's gymnastics as an oversight thing either. So his name hasn't come up in documents and other things as well. So I don't think that will be an issue for people as much as it might have been for some people who wanted Mark Hollis in terms of he is the top of athletics. And I don't think that will be an issue for people.
Does Greg Ianni have a shot of having this job permanently, or is it just too early to know?
I think it's a little too early, right, Graham? I mean, I think we have to let this thing kind of play out and see. Maybe you can expound a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I think he was fairly close to retirement. So I would be surprised if it's him long term. But what is long term? If interimly things go well and people trust him and respect him and want him there, could he be there for 3, 4, 5 years and they decide that's something to do? I don't know. I don't know how any of this will play out. I doubt that. But I think he is a good stopgap.
Well, certainly a lot of attention has been on MSU basketball coach Tom Izzo, who very publicly backed President Luana K. Simon before she resigned. He's had a rough week, to say the least. Do you want to take that?
Yeah, I can expound for that. Yeah, rough okay. Week is probably, you know, being a little nice, I think. And the thing that, you know, when you look at, Graham, what happened on Friday, that was literally hours after the Outside the Lines piece had come out, having a target on the MSU men's basketball and football programs, kind of expounding on previous sexual assault allegations. And we saw Mark D'Antonio come in that presser, and he was very defiant. He took two questions, but he was very defiant in letting it be known that he did follow protocol. He leaves, and then the game takes place. Izzo comes in, and he's a little more, you know, to the book. He makes his statement and then says, that's all I'm commenting on. Thing about Mark D'Antonio is, I mean, he doesn't have to speak to the media for quite some time now. Probably wasn't until like the spring game, where Izzo, I mean, we're in the thick of things of the MSU men's basketball year, and after every game, the media will be there. We saw, and you were there, Graham, Tisha Thompson of Outside the Lines. She was there after the Maryland game and drilled them with some questions and followed them to the locker room. Izzo said, hey, I'm not going to comment right now. I want to focus on the survivors. But this will be a recurring thing, I think, throughout the season. And the fans, after watching that ESPN report, again, we have to let this investigation play out. But I think anyone would agree when watching those two reports from ESPN, there are some questions that need to be answered, and that will come in due time.
Yeah, I mean, the ESPN reports, there are some, the way they were written, a few of the things, the way ESPN's handled a few things, I have some issues with. But that doesn't make the questions any less valid. And so from MSU's perspective and from Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio, those are things that need to be answered. You're right, D'Antonio was defiant. He was basically said, I didn't do this stuff. We handled this properly. Prove it. Come and get me. It was a really strong statement at the time. He'll probably have to answer things to another level. There's one opportunity before the spring game for sure with the second signing day, which will be coming up here shortly. So there is one more opportunity where he'll be in sort of a press conference setting, and he won't want that to be about this. But for Tom Izzo, you're right. It's every week now, and you know, it was a tough weekend in the sense that this drops on a Friday. You're preparing for a game that night. Then you have a really quick turnaround that happens to be in D.C. So you got an 8 o'clock Friday, 1 o'clock Sunday. And Tisha Thompson is from outside the lines is based in D.C., so it's in Maryland nearby. It really made it difficult for them to get a hold of things before then. I think Izzo does have to come out and address them to some degree, though, because otherwise – I think the MSU community is owed that a little bit. I also think his team is owed that because this threatens to sort of take their season over and engulf it. And you know, the question really at the heart of things is how they handled stuff, not whether you always have perfect people on your campus or perfect players on your team. Did you go through the right protocol? And you've got to kind of explain it. Did you do it? If you tried to handle it internally, that's not good. Some of this stuff was handled through the courts, and it appears was the right protocol. Now, knowing what you know, did you suspend them? Was there any internal, or did you have any sense that even though they didn't have charges, that they shouldn't have been with the team or should have had internal discipline? And maybe there was. He's just got to explain how he handled things. And I think the sooner he does that, the better for him. Because Tom Izzo is somebody who likes to speak his mind. Occasionally will speak his mind to his own detriment and doesn't always have the firmest, greatest grasp of the English language. And I don't mean that like he doesn't speak, but if you ever transcribe down, you know, this like a press conference from Tom Izzo, there are sentences that just sort of end. There are words that aren't words, and you know what he means, but you sit down and listen to it. And that's what got him in trouble with the Larry Nassar comment, because that was, when he said, I hope they have the right guy, that was more of a verbal pause. If you listen to that, it didn't come across as like the Joel Ferguson comment sounded really tone deaf when he said, you know, it sounded as bad as it looked on paper, that this isn't the only thing happening on campus. That was a really poor time to say that, and bad thing to say right there. But Izzo's was different, and that's really a weakness for him that he's going to have to – I think the more times he's in front of a microphone – live, ask questions in a setting that isn't ideal for that, then likely he's going to say something he regrets. And I think he should take control of it at some point, and be it through a thorough statement, be it through a press conference on his own terms, try and get in front of this a little bit.
Yeah, and to that, Graham, I ask you, I mean, when is the right time, though? Because I know that, you know, this is so sticky because we got to let the legal process play out, and there are multiple investigations, you know, taking place. I mean, when does he make that statement, and when does he answer those questions, and are we going to hear anything new than what we've heard right now? Because the legal aspect is what makes this really sticky.
Yeah, I don't think you can wait entirely until the legal process. You got investigations from the AG's office, the NCAA, the state legislature.
This will take a year at least, right?
Yeah, and how much they're all looking into is, I know the AG's office is looking into the culture overall, so they're going to go into that. But yeah, it could take months, a year. You know, it's hard to tell. Certainly it would. And I understand there are probably things you can't answer, but being too playing too much to the legal language and worrying about lawyers and other things like that really hurt Luana K. Simon, I think, in terms of the sense of compassion that she appeared to have or not have. And so I think to some degree you have to understand where you can't go, but you've got to say everything you can. And look, you know what you did in those settings. And the other thing is, the hard thing is going to be, and we have to be careful as a society here, is it's a different time now than it was even 2010. Title IX has changed in terms of it being really a directive for those cases all to be handled through Title IX as of 2011 when the Obama administration was in. So this is even pre that. And opinion, attitudes have changed. What will tolerate? Who should be with a team based on, you know, if charges haven't been filed and the case is pending, we're much more likely to separate somebody from a team now than we were even 8 years ago. And it's okay to say that. You know, I think Izzo will but there is also a sharks in the water mentality that comes about that makes things, I think, scary for Izzo right now and for a lot of people around that program. And it's you know, I can't tell you that the media is all going to be responsible because they aren't always. I mean, ESPN has not been entirely responsible with this. When you have a picture of Larry Nassar, yeah, Tom Izzo, and Mark D'Antonio on your, you know, behind Bob Lee and outside the lines,
those are two separate things.
That not only right. is it separate, but the mm-hmm. scope of them is different.
Right.
And you haven't even really accused these men themselves of anything specific. That's irresponsible. And ESPN had some hearsay in there. There are other things that were, it would not have run in the Lansing State Journal as it was. But again, there are still questions to answer. He doesn't need to answer them to ESPN. You know, if I were Tom Izzo, I would call a press conference that ESPN didn't know about. I'd let people know an hour beforehand. I would be annoyed with them to the point that I wouldn't include them. But you need to get out in front of a lot of this.
For people who didn't see the ESPN investigation, Graham, was there anything in particular regarding the basketball and Al, anything in particular with the football teams that stuck out in your mind?
Some of it had previously been reported, even if names weren't named, because like in the Lansing State Journal, if you have not been charged with sexual assault, we do not name you. Very rarely do we make an exception for that. We did, for example, with Larry Nassar. But there was stuff regarding Travis Walton, who's since made a statement denying the charges. A couple instances with him that were new. And so there were things that were decent reporting by them in terms of uncovering because they were new. It was the tone and sort of the hearsay of the culture. And look, there is a cultural problem, I believe, on Michigan State's campus with this. And so that's the other problem. You know, one of the reasons I've been resistant to some degree to really go at ESPN is because I think it appears as if you are missing the story. If you do it, you're missing the picture. And that makes it tricky. I think ESPN deserves criticism. They should not be able to be the judicial system in this. But look, they found some stuff and they raised some things that hadn't been brought to light that speak to a larger question on campus. And those are things that have to be dealt with.
All right, again, you can catch that full chat with Graham Couch, columnist of the Lansing State Journal, myself and Reginald Hartwick, news director here at WKAR. That will air on this weekend's edition of Current State. All right, well, we have just under 5 minutes left here in the hour. And again, I will be away from the studio until next week. So you guys know that the biggest sporting event in all of sports is taking place come this weekend. And before we give brief thoughts and predictions on that game, I would like to introduce you all to two of our newest production assistants who will be joining us here on the airwaves and helping us with content throughout the semester right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Their first time being a part of the show here. I just want you guys to introduce yourself. We have John Simon as well as Tamar Davis, two brothers that you will certainly be getting very familiar with. We'll start with John. John, tell us a little bit about yourself, my man, and what do you hope to learn throughout the semester here at WKAR?
Well, like you said, my name is John Simon. I'm a senior at Michigan State from Buffalo, New York, journalism major with a focus more in broadcasting. And as what you talked about, goals. My goal is to one day have something like this, a sports radio talk show, and I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot.
And from New York, I can kind of hear it. I can kind of hear it in your voice, John, and also it runs in your blood, right?
It's true.
All right, let's go with Tamar. Tamar Davis. Tamar, introduce yourself to the people, man, and tell them a little bit about yourself, and what do you also hope to get out of this semester?
Well, I'm Tamar Davis. I'm a senior here at Michigan State University, majoring in journalism, specializing in sports broadcasting from Cass Tech.
Cash Tech. There's a lot of you guys around here.
Yes, sir. I just hope to gain just experience, be really well-rounded around the studio, whether it's broadcasting or editorial work, behind the board, behind the scenes, just learn how to do everything.
Love that. And guys, you both also are contributors for, of course, Impact Sports here on the campus of Michigan State University, the student-run radio station in the basement of Holden Hall. And briefly here, as we wrap the show up, I just want to get both of your thoughts on what has taken place throughout these last few weeks from a student perspective. How are you guys dealing with this, and what are you hoping happens here at your university, John?
I mean, as far as happening at the university, I just want it to be built back up. You know, a lot of people are upset with everything that's happened, rightfully so. A lot of people
are ashamed about what's happened, rightfully so. But I just want to build from that. I want, you know, students, faculty, fans of the university to, you know, bounce back from this. And as far as a student covering this, it's been difficult. I mean, you have one side of you, one part of you that wants to, you know, still root for the teams that you root for. But the journalist side, you know, you want to get the right story. And it's been tough to balance it. But we've been rolling with the punches.
What about you, Tamar?
It's just been very hectic these last few weeks. It just happened out of nowhere, actually. But as a student, it's a little embarrassing in a way. But I never let it affect me personally. And I know that, you know, this doesn't really affect who I am. And it doesn't really shine a negative light on the students here at Michigan State University.
And I tell you what, I'm just hoping for transparency when it comes to you guys and those who are in leadership positions here at the university. I saw what took place at yesterday's Board of Trustees meeting and the students who were there trying to let their voice be heard. And I tell you what, the Board of Trustees, in my opinion, were very dismissive. There was not even any eye contact when it came to those students who were there trying to let their concerns be known when it comes to the appointment of former Michigan Governor John Engler, now stepping in as interim president. But you guys can directly affect change. All right, real quick, Patriots, Eagles, John, who you got?
I've been writing off the Eagles all playoffs. I'm going to do it again. I think the New England Patriots are taking Super Bowl 52.
I'm with you as well. Tamar?
With the GOAT, Brady. Tom Brady and the Patriots, baby.
Got to be crazy to go against the Patriots, right? Ian, are you crazy?
No, I'm going to take the Patriots, too. No madness today.
Okay, we all are choosing the New England Patriots. Folks, we'll be back at it with a live edition of Current Sports next week. I will be out of town on the West Coast. Until then, take care, and as always, be easy, people.